Come on in, come on in, come on in. All geeks are welcome in this space. Let's learn together and seek his face. I'm Lem Philya, a.k.a. Bad Gamer Elite, your host for this Sound Maiden podcast, sponsored by LifePromotions.org. God Games and Geekery gives us an opportunity every month to chat about the crossroads of our passions and our faith. I can't wait to learn and discuss with you. Hey, welcome to the 61st episode. Come on. Really? You guys are going to keep me 61 episodes? Let's go. I'm so excited. Thank you. Oh, man. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, our local sponsor, Press Start Games in Appleton, Wisconsin. If you are listening on Clear Hits Radio up in Green Bay, I see you, Caleb. Hey, you can head down to Appleton. Go visit Press Start Games. They are the sponsor of the G3 Lair Arcade. So the G3 Arcade, you guys, it's an amazing collection of classic and modern gaming. And you can join us if you show up at Quake. Guys, this winter / spring, we are going to be at Quakes all over the U.S. If you want to find out where the closest Quake to you is, go to quakeevent.org. That's Quake. That's quakeevent.com. That's quakeevent.com. Go check it out, you guys. Go there. All right, so what have I been up to this past month? Well, obviously, and I think this comes as no surprise, say it with me, I've been playing a lot of Fortnite. That's right. I'm not so sure on this season overall. They got this Chrome thing that's going on that I'm not completely vibing with, and that's not a pun for the last season, but I'm not completely vibing with it. It's neat, but you can like phase through walls if they're Chrome, and then you do this splash, you turn into a blob, you can phase through the walls as well. That's the big mechanic. They brought back some other vaulted weapons and everything, and that's cool. But the biggest thing for me, you guys, oh my goodness. The biggest thing for me is the 100th level skin. Guys, the 100th level skin is Gwen, Spider-Gwen. It's Spider-Gwen, you guys. It's freaking Spider-Gwen. I am so excited for that. You have no idea. I have been wanting to see Gwen and Miles up in this game for so long, and they did it. They did it. Very excited. I'm not quite there yet. I think I'm at level 68. So, you know, it's okay. I'll get there. I have been playing a lot of Save the World, which has gotten me pretty far, you guys. As of right now, I have about 294 skins. We're easily going to hit that 300 skin probably this season. And last season, I ended up in placement as far as my level at 330 because I've been playing so much Save the World. If you guys have not checked out FortniteDB.com, that's FortniteDB.com, and you're playing Save the World, you are missing out. I have learned so much from just going there and looking at what the missions are that will give you the most, and then they will help you build out your team really well. Right there, I think last month when it came to Save the World, I was at level, my commander level was at like 191, and my commander level is now 216. So if you are playing Save the World and you want to play some Save the World with me, hit me up. Guys, hit me up. God Games Geekery on most socials, or badgamer@lifepromotions.org. Go ahead and hit me up. We can play some Save the World. But yeah, so that's been going on. I've been really enjoying the Steam Deck. I know I mentioned it before, but I didn't realize what I could be playing on this. Just yesterday, I downloaded the Master Chief Collection. Now, I can't play multiplayer on it because of the anti-cheat and how that works with the Steam OS, but or the Steam Deck OS or something like that, the anti-cheat. But I can play all the campaigns. So I'm going through those campaigns. I'm also playing Final Fantasy 13. I was not a Final Fantasy guy. I was not. Like, I tried 13 when it came out. I've tried 13 too. Actually, I didn't try 13 too. It stayed in its wrapper. But that was back in the day. And then when 15 came out, I tried that. It was not my thing. But I went back to 13, and it feels a lot like Kingdom Hearts 3. And I like Kingdom Hearts 3. I really like Kingdom Hearts 3. It's not the same mechanics, but it just feels like the essence of it just feels like it. So, really enjoying that. What else have I been playing? Disney Dreamlight Valley came out, you guys. If you bought the Founders Pack of Disney Dreamlight Valley, another game I'm a little surprised that I like as much as I do, because I'm not a Stardew Valley person. I'm not a Minecraft person. I'm not that guy. I'm not a Animal Crossing person. While I own Animal Crossing, I'm not that person. But man, I am in on Dreamlight Valley. I am like 55 to 60 hours into this game that I did not think I was going to like, but I am loving it. And I think it's the Disney piece of it. They build a relationship with the Disney characters. Again, I'm playing Pokemon Trading Card Game online still. And let me tell you, playing is kind of a generous way of saying it. I am opening up the packs that people send me codes for. People have been sending me codes for a Pokemon trading card game online. Our buddy Reese, who's Wild Gaming, he sent me over 200 codes, and I've barely put in 25 of them. So this, when I open them on stream, it's been more like they're just pack opening streams more than anything. So it's really cool. Gametography wise. Kena Bridge of Spirits. I'm back into that for just a second, because they updated the photo mode because it came out on PC. So they updated it, and now you've got control over lights and styles of lights and a few more poses. It's really cool. So if you've not played Kena Bridge of Spirits, go check that out. It's a really fun game. If you have played it, they added New Game Plus as well. So, all the more reason. But gametography-wise, I've been doing that. I've been doing Fortnite because some of the skins that came out are just really cool looking. And then I put a call out to the gametography/virtual photography community. I said, hey, does anybody have a camera rig for Final Fantasy 13? And of course I have two genius friends that already made one. It's been public for a long time. And so they sent that to me, and I've gotten some great photos in Final Fantasy 13. I will continue to get some great photos. It's so much fun. What have I been watching? I watched Thor Love and Thunder. That was good. I liked it. I saw it on Disney Plus. I didn't go to the theater to see it. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't my go-to, but I enjoyed the story. I liked that one not as much as Ragnarok, but more than the others. So I think Ragnarok, for me, it was just a really good blend of the action and the drama and the redemption stories and stuff like that. Whereas this one, for me, actually, Korg stole the show in Love and Thunder for me. Taika Waititi is he's just a great director, producer, whatever he does. I've seen him just do stuff on his own that not only hit my feels, but had me dying. Oh, it was fantastic. I'm still drawing, rarely, but still drawing. I have not drawn anything like my big complete background and everything image that I did a little bit ago, but it's I'm still there, and I am planning on taking part in Inktober. Now, Inktober, for those of you who don't know, if you go to, here, I'm going to double check here. I think it's Inktober.com, but Inktober.com, there's a list Inktober.com. There's a list of, you can either do a one drawing a week all year long, or in this case, I'm just going to do Inktober Classic, 31 days, 31 drawings, and there are going to be more sketches for me, but it's draw for 31 days, and they give you 31 prompts. I'm also going to suggest to anybody out there that does virtual photography, go check out Inktober 2022, and maybe you do some in-game photography using the Inktober prompt list. They go all the way back to 2018, you can use those. I think it's great. I think it's great. But I will be doing that. Oh, I bought some cheap oil pastels from Five Below, and I really like those. I like those probably even a little bit more than the chalk pastels. I like the, and I've actually used them on my, using my fingers with those. I don't like using the chalk pastels to blend them with my finger, but the oil pastels I like. So it's been a lot of fun using those and trying those. Man, I'm still doing Domestika. The one that I'm really working on is my time management for creatives, and it's scary. I don't know if for anybody else, if trying new things and trying to better myself according to, you know, what God tells me is better for me, because, you know, you gotta talk to God to listen to him and know where he wants you to be and what he wants you to do. It's scary for me to get better, because then it's a matter of, why wasn't I doing this before? And then all the self-doubt comes in, and it's scary to learn new stuff. It's scary to try new things. And then they say that, you know, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And I kind of want to have a discussion with somebody that understands scary in a geeky way, you know, like horror movies or horror games or literature that's just spooky, scary literature. So I brought my friend from Satellite Gaming, David Keychain, to talk to us about fear and how we as believers should be dealing with fear. Or maybe you're not a believer. How should you deal with fear? And guys, you're going to love this. I promise you, you're going to love David Keychain, because I do. Let's go talk to Satellite Gaming's very own David Keychain. What's up, everybody? I promised you, you know, I try to keep my promises, and I promised you a very cool dude, a very awesome guy, someone who is almost as geeky as I am, and dare I say, slightly more. Just ever so slightly more. I want to bring to you, the God Games and Geekery family, your brother, my brother, David freaking Keychain.
Thank you. Now I feel like I have a lot to live up to. That was quite an intro.
Be yourself and you will.
I was going to say like, oh, I don't know if I'm actually more geek, but I feel like the problem is I have a ton of stuff that I'm geeky about that I don't always like you can immediately just see from my room some of the things I'm geeky about, but like you and I, for example, today we're going to talk about horror stuff. I could have like a whole extra shelf of horror stuff.
Oh my goodness, bro.
But I feel like that might be a little off-putting to have.
Just ever so slightly for me in particular. So who are you, David, for people who have not listened to, because David is actually was on the first episode of Faith and Film that we put on the podcast channel. Like, you guys that have been on the Twitch channel, you've seen Faith and Film, but we've never put it on the podcast, and David was on that, so you might recognize his voice from there. But tell people who you are, bud.
So I am David, or, you know, like my nerdy name is Keychain, or David Keychain. So I work with an organization called Satellite Gaming. It's all about, video game ministry with students. I love doing that. I am also a lifetime geek and Jesus person, which is a great fit. And then if you like to add to how great of a fit it is, I also am a failed communications major at college. But the part I didn't fail at is talking about nerdy literature and how we're supposed to parse through all of that. Like, what is the point of art, discussing art, and what is God's place in art? So, you know, when somebody comes along and makes the mistake of giving me an opportunity to talk about Godzilla and how it relates to the Bible, I just kind of go off.
The mistake, he says. The mistake. Or the carefully planned introduction to the world of G3. Yeah. One of the two. Oh, man. So today we're talking about fear, and of course horror games, horror movies, suspenseful stuff, creepy stuff. For instance, I wouldn't consider Lord of the Rings a horror movie, but Gollum is terrifying to me. Like, I can deal with the Uruk-hai. I can deal with them. That's not a problem for me. But Gollum, ugh.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah. So, what's interesting is when you talk about like the science of fear, there's actually like weirdly not a lot. When you actually try and define horror, it gets really tricky. And Stephen King is the guy who came up with my favorite idea of horror. So there's four types of horror, and okay, one of those is gross out. And gross out horror is like the most unique to the person, but can also stay with you literally forever.
Ooh, okay.
In a way that the other kinds of horror just kind of don't.
Yeah.
So like, that's how you get like, dude, Oogie Boogie in Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Gets me still.
Really?
100%. 100%. There is no horror monster that like I physically react thinking about how Oogie Boogie looks.
Oh my gosh. I would not have pegged you for that.
Nope. Yeah, I can't do it, man. I don't like it at all. And I feel like Gollum has a lot of the same sort of traits of like, I don't like the way that his skin looks like it feels. Like, I feel like looking at Gollum's skin, I'm like, I know what that would feel like to touch, and I don't like it at all.
I mean, you're not wrong. you're not wrong. I couldn't see myself going up to Gollum, like, all right, bring it in, Smiggle, bring it in. No.
It's like scratchy leather.
Yeah. And I think the fact that his eyes reflect, well, not even like a cat, but like some sort of amphibious creature.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway. All right. So let's. You are a connoisseur of the scary.
Yeah.
What is your favorite scary game?
Game?
Yeah.
I'm going to immediately go with kind of a cop-out answer. Have you played PT?
I know of it, and no, I have not.
Yeah, so it's kind of not a game. It's kind of not a game because you experience. Can't play it anymore. And even at the time, it was like one level of a game. We didn't know what PT stood for at the time. It just mysteriously showed up on the PlayStation Store. And then we found out later it stood for playable trailer. It was supposed to be a teaser for a new Silent Hill game that ended up not coming out. But it's Hideo Kojima, and he just kind of went insane with it. And it's, yeah, that is my favorite scary like game experience.
The one thing I remember hearing about, because I haven't played it, because I, again, don't do scary. The one thing that I remember about this, because I have a lot of friends that hack cameras, right? Mm. And like, so we can get, you know, our game photography shots. But I heard somebody hacked the camera in that, and if you turn to get a shot of yourself, and there is something following you the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah!
Yeah. So basically the whole game is one hallway, and you walk down the hallway, and then when you get to the end of the hallway, it puts you back at the start. You open the door, you walk through the hallway, and it puts you back at the start of the hallway. And the entire game is just what changes with the repetition
of the hallway.
So, like, you'll do, like, 5 walkthroughs of the hallway, and you're like, okay, this is pretty normal, and then the walls will start bleeding. And you're like, that's really freaky, and then you'll kind of get used to that, and you're like, okay, well, the walls aren't bleeding. Like, they are, but it's fine. It's not a big deal. And then, like, you'll try and open the door again, and instead it'll be, like, a vision of your dead wife, and, like... So what was crazy is people thought that it's an endless loop game, that there's no way to actually beat it, right?
Right.
So the game went up on the store. It took 14 days for somebody to beat it because there was no sort of like walkthrough. There was no sort of guide. There was no information of how to do it. You just walk through the hallway. In order to beat the game, it was just people trying stuff. In order to beat the game, you had to plug in a PlayStation camera to your PlayStation and say words from news articles in the game into the microphone, and it would trigger certain events.
What?
Yeah, you could not beat the game unless you just decided to go out on a limb and start plugging in peripherals.
Wait, you had to have a PlayStation camera to beat the game.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, like Sony hadn't been making for like 3 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I you know, I'm trying not to get into too many of the details because it does get pretty gruesome, but like,
oh wow,
it is. There's also some stuff where it's just like you know, like there's news articles in the hallways that you can like pause and read, and you kind of try and start to figure stuff out, and you find out that you're actually walking through 3 different hallways of 3 different people who had similar gruesome experiences.
Oh wow.
And then you kind of figure out that like this is spoilers, by the way. It's really scary. You can't actually play it anymore, but spoilers. You find out you're a bad guy.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like you are not a likable person. And by the end of the hallway, you're kind of like, I actually don't know how I feel about this character. But actually, you don't know that because you're just kind of inferring some things. Anyway, yeah, so it took 14 days for somebody to beat it. And then at the end, they just like, you get a little teaser of a foggy Silent Hill setting.
Oh,
it zooms out, and it's Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, who you've been playing this whole time.
Oh, my goodness.
Silent Hills. And then the game got canceled.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The game got canceled because Capcom wants to make mobile games now.
Yeah.
So they canceled Silent Hills, and then Hideo Kojima and Norman Reedus were like, you want to go make Death Stranding?
And like, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, but that's the story of PT. It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness, bro. All right, my favorite scary game, if you can say that, it's one that my friend Disney Picks Chick and I had decided we're going to play this. We like, it was back when I had something on my personal channel called Bad Gamer on Demand. It was, if you bought the game for me, I would play it, no matter what game it was. And that no longer exists.
That's too bad, because I would definitely make you play some stuff.
Here's the thing. It exists, but in different form. but at that point, Disney Pixchick had made me play Horizon Zero Dawn because I wasn't going to get it right away. And she's like, no, you're playing this. I'm invoking Bad Gamer on Demand. At that point, there were four people that were allowed to use Bad Gamer on Demand. And then three out of the four people, the next time we said Bad Gamer on Demand was open, they chose Until Dawn. They said it's,
yeah, that doesn't strike me as a LEM game.
It is not a LEM game. They said it's free, and we told it about it to you, so now you have to play it. We basically gave you the game because it's free on PlayStation Plus. I was like, that is not happening again. I'm let it slide this time, technicality. And while it freaked me out, I love a good mystery. I love like the mystery got me over the scary pieces. But I figured out what was going on by the end. But before the end of the thing, I watch too much Marvel everything. I read too much Marvel anything. I'm not going to give it away. But if you know of instances of the Hulk and Wolverine, you know what goes on in this game. So that one was my favorite because of the mystery. And recently, I put on my own personal channel that I said, hey, if we get to X amount of subs every month, you get a Scary Snaps stream. It was just once a month, 2 hours, if we hit sub levels, I would do this. And we took one stream to figure out what game it was going to be, and I ended up not being able to play it after a while. It was what's the one with the camera and the ghosts?
Camera and the Ghosts.
Yeah, it's a Camera Obscura game. Fatal Frame.
Oh, yeah.
Fatal Frame.
I haven't played that one.
Maiden of Blackwater. I had to stop playing that game. It really freaked me out. It messed with me. So, like, those things scared me. Now, there's lots of things that scare you. But I think more so there are movies that scare me more than a video game will. And ones that didn't, but now do. I don't know if you've ever seen Robin Williams in 1 Hour Photo. Okay.
Oh, I've heard about that though.
Yeah.
That was when I read the description and I was like, that's a little creepy for me.
I saw that way back in the day. I saw it I actually really liked it. I watched it multiple times. I worked at a photo lab at the time. so it was like, a lot of it was like, oh, I see where this is going. And then I had kids. And I tried to watch it. And I was like, I can't watch this movie anymore.
Yeah.
And not with them. I just couldn't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
It freaked me out. And I knew what was going to happen. Do you have any movies like that where it's like, oh, it didn't freak me out, but now it does?
Not really. There's a bunch that I've gone the other way on.
Okay.
Because, you know, Blockbuster in its dying days had this thing where you could have a subscription service, and you could trade out a game and movie once a day for $1.
Oh, so, wow. Like,
it was like middle school through high school. I was there every day with $1. That's why I have a bunch of games that I just I played through it all, but I did it all in one day, so I don't remember very much about it. But that was like where I first watched a bunch of horror movies.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like 13, just starting to watch horror movies.
Oh,
and
no.
There's been a couple of those that I went back because I remember them being really scary and good. And I watch them now and I'm like, wow, this has like clearly like a $200 budget.
Oh, man. I mean, I think that the thing about movies in particular for scary stuff for me is that if I can relate it to something that's going on in my life,
yeah,
it gets scarier.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and that's where, like, I guess the question is, how do we deal with, as Christians, how should we be dealing with fear? Mm. It could be the fear of, you know, of losing a loved one, or yeah, the fear of going to a new school, the fear of changing a job or losing a job. It could be the fear of a lot of different things. How do we deal with that as believers?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I think part of the reason I really love horror as a genre is because I kind of feel like it is a safe way to sort of, you know, dip your toe in some of those scary things. And like, it's in a controlled environment.
Okay, yeah.
Got it, safely explore some of those feelings, right?
Yeah.
So, for me, I think that like that's why I've never really had a big problem with scary stuff, is because I'm pretty good at, like, in the moment I'm very in a very, I feel very strongly.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty good at putting things down, and it doesn't usually stick with me. Right. That's part of it for me, because I think that fear is an extremely human thing. It's one of the most natural experiences you're ever going to have. You know what I mean?
Like, right,
it's
right.
Hardwired the deepest parts of your brain to survive. Fear is in and of itself not a bad thing. It's a thing that is put in your brain by God to keep you alive. It's trying to keep the lights on.
If you weren't afraid of falling off of a building, you would go jump off of a building. That's why Superman is not afraid of heights.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm not going to get, even if I fall out of the air, I'm not going to get hurt. The earth is going to get hurt before I do.
Yeah. No, that is like, if a jaguar is chasing you, you should feel fear, because that's something put there by God to keep the lights on, telling you to run away from that big cat.
Yeah.
The problem comes in when we don't respond to that fear well, right? Like, this is the thing that my therapist talked to me a lot about. He's like, your brain is amazing at getting you to run away from a T-Rex. If you have some bigger existential thing, like the fear of losing a loved one, your brain can't distinguish that from the T-Rex. So it has the same panic response for every, it just has the one big red fear button. And if you follow that big fear, red fear button and panic and act rashly like you're being chased by a T-Rex, you're gonna make some decisions that you'll probably regret, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I don't think fear is the problem. It's what fear can cause you to do. And as Christians, I think that that biggest possibility, the biggest thing that we're trying to avoid when we talk about what could fear cause you to do, is it could cause you to doubt. Because I will speak personally that, like, when I get scared, it gets way harder to trust God in my life, to trust that prayer does anything. Because I'm like, prayer is, I believe wholeheartedly in prayer until I'm scared about something. And then why am I not praying? You know what I mean? I catch myself doing that all the time. Where, like, I'll be praying about something until it gets too real, and then I just won't mention it to God again. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
That's me trying to pretend I have control over something I don't.
Ooh.
That's me letting fear change how I act, change my convictions. That to me is the danger of fear, is what it can do. It's not the fear itself.
Ooh. I like it. See, that's why we have David on. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's fantastic, bro.
Well, and like, so horror is very interesting because it has one goal, right? As a genre, horror has one goal. Most genres, that's not true, right? Like, what's the goal of sci-fi? Lots of things. Horror really just is trying to scare you. That's a pretty simple goal. It's like, comedy is the only thing that I can think of that's sort of similar, where it's only trying to do one thing, evoke one emotion, right?
Right. Even with comedy, because that's what I'm a student of, comedy will also try to bring you down to bring you back up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I kind of think that comedy
Ben Stiller,
is,
any Ben Stiller movie. Yes.
I think that those are kind of, horror and comedy actually think have a lot of similarities, because I think effective horror also needs some moments that are that pick you up, because, like, man, I think there are some really bad horror movies that really suffer from the fact that, like, there's so little hope and so little, like, fun.
Yeah.
They don't relate to the characters. Like, Halloween is my favorite. The original 70s Halloween movie is my favorite horror movie. That movie starts with just a kid and his babysitter hanging out and talking. And, like, that relationship drives the whole thing, right? So, like, with comedy, you got to have dips to bring it back up. Horror, you got to have highs to bring it back down.
Like, ooh, yeah.
So when we're talking about horror games, you got to think about, like, when you talk about different mediums, they all have different strengths and weaknesses as far as contributing to the goal of horror, right?
Right.
So, like, reading... I like reading some Stephen King stuff, because you can, when you read, you usually, like, project yourself into the story a little bit, right?
Right.
Your imagination can do a lot of the work.
Right.
And with horror monsters, that's like Pennywise, the movie version Pennywise does not scare me at all. That is a silly looking clown. But in the book, you kind of like, you make it look scary in your head, right?
Yeah.
So you can make things scarier like that, but the pace is, you can read at your own pace. If some, you can't really like write something to feel
rushed.
I have never felt panic like I have to run through a book, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then with like with movies, there's some stuff that just doesn't look very scary visually, like when you see it on the screen. Some stuff's just really hard to make look real and scary, you know? There's a lot of monsters that don't look good as soon as there's any sort of light on them at all.
I think for me, that's a good example of that is Independence Day. Up until they attacked, I was freaked out by the whole thing.
Yeah, but once they're way scarier when you don't know very much.
Yeah, when they attack and then you see them, I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Oh, we're going to take these guys down. Just give me the USB. I got it. They're not scary at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so with games, games, I think, have some of the biggest strengths and also some of the biggest weaknesses. Because the biggest strength is you are in the story. You are controlling the character. And you have a lot of investment there. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest weakness is that we as gamers are very good at detaching ourselves from the game, from the story.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, if you treated games the same way that you do movies, you'd be way more invested most of the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just part of gaming culture that you don't think of. You don't think like, I am Mario. Like, I am jumping around hitting the blocks. And that makes it hard to have an effective horror game because you can just sit back and you're like, wow, can't believe that guy's running from a zombie.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the best horror games are the ones where you forget that you're playing a game because you're freaking out for yourself.
Yes. Now, like I said, I don't play a lot of horror video games, but I see that in Fortnite. I see that in Overwatch because you see people like in Overwatch that won't touch the point. You'd realize you personally are not going to die, right? Get your feet on the point, Widowmaker.
Yeah, well, and like, so a lot of games, and this is true of all horror stuff, there's a root, right? So like the root of comedy is truth, right?
Right.
You're getting at some truth when you talk about it, when you're joking about something. I think the same, again, is true of horror. I think at the root of every horror story, there is truth. There is something scary that you're trying to explore, right? So I'm in the realm of games. You think of like, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah.
That is a very common horror thing, which is like, what if we took like a familiar nostalgic thing like pizza places with video games and everything and made it spooky, right?
Yeah.
You ever played Dead Space? You remember Dead Space?
I know of it. I think I own it, but I've never booted it. Never booted it up.
So that is kind of the whole, like, there's a whole subgenre of cosmic horror of like space is just really big and big is scary. And
okay,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like we couldn't have a full conversation about horror video games without mentioning Silent Hill 2 is a game that you don't totally know what is the scary part for a lot of the game. Part of the game is figuring out why these things are scary. And really, the truth that Silent Hill 2 is getting at is a person who is scared of the consequences of his actions catching up to him.
Okay,
so I think as Christians, it's a pretty relatable idea,
yes,
right? Because, hey, Lem, have you ever done anything bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, see, same camp. And Silent Hill 2 is about a man who is being chased by his past, being chased by the consequences of what he has done. All of those things catching up to him, right? And it's
wow,
desperately running away. We live in a... We have committed ourselves to the solution to that running. We have stopped playing Silent Hill because somebody else has paid the consequences for our past, for
oh,
what
wow,
we have done. I think that's amazing.
Oh, dude.
That Silent Hill, which is not a game with religious, with Christian themes, really, the truth that the horror is getting at is the idea that we all have things that we feel have consequences that are going to catch up to us.
Oh.
That someday we will have to pay for what we've done.
Wow.
That's the truth that it's getting at there.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
It's really cool. But after I kind of had that realization, it made Silent Hill way less scary.
And
because now I don't relate to that fear anymore.
And now maybe I can play it. I won't, but...
yeah.
Oh, my
goodness.
I mean, that's
it. Like, yeah, you don't have to worry about the consequences of your fear and everything, but a giant man with a huge meat cleaver and a pyramid for a head is scary regardless. You should still run from that guy.
David, where can people find you if they want to get in touch and hear more about your philosophies and your ideas and all? Where can people find you, bro?
David_keychain on twitch.tv. If you like Halloween stuff, I'm very excited for Saturday because it's the first day of October and the stream is gonna be all Halloween themed all month. I'm so excited.
Guys, this should be coming out before October. This is October's episode, so it should be coming out right before October. And so if you want to see Halloween and scary stuff, go visit David on Twitch. Do not come to me because it will not be there. David, thanks for hanging out, buddy. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. This is just a gift that you're giving my wife because now she doesn't have to hear me rant about how Silent Hill is actually Christian.
And we love Mo. We love Mo.
That's true. She's great.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, bud. David freaking Keychain. Galdern, I love that guy. Seriously, if you ever get a chance, go check him out on Twitch. He's an amazing guy. I remember one of the first streams I ever watched him in, he broke down Animorphs like you wouldn't believe. You heard me. I said Animorphs. That's right. Hey, guys, we just need to, you know, I want to bring something to your attention here. Psalms. Psalms are a whole thing about God, what the butt? Right? There's songs about what's going on in the psalmist's life. And I want to call attention to Psalm 55, verse 4 to 8. Psalms chapter 55, verse 4 to 8. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to make my place of shelter far from the tempest and storm. The psalmist is saying, I'm scared. I want to run. God, I want to run. Please, I want to run. And that just reminds me of a lot of the things in my life. Maybe it reminds me, reminds you of things in your life that you're like, ah, I don't want to be here. I just need to run. I need to run. But when we look in Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 4 to 7, it says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. What we're seeing here, guys, is saying, you know what? There was a philosopher I was reading, I heard some words from, that I some of you might have heard, and I think it's really important for us to remember. It goes, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching out for you and me. Yeah, for those of you who don't know the Ask VeggieTales, but it just reminds us, you guys, that while that fear, we're hardwired for it, right? It's God's way of reminding us that he's in charge. But it's also his way of reminding us that he's got us. That fear, don't hold on to it. There's somebody you can give it to. You can give that to God. Guys, I want to remind you, you can find us out on Twitter, TikTok, Insta. Man, find us over there as God Games Geekery on Twitch. God Games and Geekery. We are there Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, starting at 4 o'clock, anywhere from an hour to 3 hours. So check it out. That's 4 o'clock Central. If you want to contact me, you can contact me at badgamer@lifepromotions.org. That's badgamer or lifepromotions.org or at any of those socials. Heck, if you wanted to find me, I'm Bad Gamer Elite on socials. So you can find me all those places. Oh, man. And if you can, rate and review. Do a thing. Do a rating. Do a review. Send me an email at those places too. Or a message at those places. Let me know what you think. I love you guys. You are amazing. And you have made every single episode that we've done so far a blessing to me. Oh, man. Hey, make sure you leave people better than you found them, because you are geeky and you are loved.